Silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move, I won't dance, bring it to its feet. That we have each other.
Good morning and welcome to the Moose Turd Cafe. My name is John Case and you're listening to Enlightened Radio. Today is the, what is today? It's a Monday, the January 22nd. This is the third day of the, I guess we're on our way to the third day of the federal government shutdown here. Of course, we're just 60 miles upriver from Washington, D.C. and Harper's Ferry. And Bolivar, West Virginia, but with a lot of federal workers in the area, including in our county, of a couple of counties here in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. And So they're home today, unless they're on the critical list of some kind. While, my point of view is pretty clear. The Republicans, want to throw all the Dreamers, all the immigrants, children of immigrants who came here who were not documented, and throw them out of the country after they'd been declared legal a couple of years ago. Basically just send them off to die. And in some cases, that will be the case. You think I'm being extreme? I'm not. Okay. Some of the folks, where these folks are coming from, they go back, they're going to die. They're going to be killed, especially the young people. And it's cruelty of the first order. The president should be indicted and imprisoned for even suggesting it. But he's committed to this. I'm going to take all the money out of your pocket, and I'm going to point my finger at the immigrant down the road as the, oh, he's taking you. It's not me, it's him. Jackass. But I don't want to go in there. It's just going to raise my blood pressure. So I'm going to, I'm going to play I think it works as audio. This is from an old Pink Panther movie. It's a clip of Peter Sellers, of course, playing Inspector Clouseau, the bumbling inspector, French inspector, and he's encountering a man and a monkey, a man playing an accordion and a monkey with him on the street, and he's about to carry out his sworn duty as a police officer, but something untoward happens, and you'll see what happens here. Here we go.
You have a license,
monsieur.
City Ordinance 47B prohibits the playing of any musical instrument in a public place for the purpose of commercial enterprise without a license.
I don't understand.
It is against the law for you to play your musical instrument.
The law?
What?
You say it's against the law?
Yes, unless you have a proper license.
What kind of license?
A license that permits the playing of any musical instrument in a public place for the purpose of commercial enterprise.
Commercial enterprise?
Yes. You play that thing and people give you the money.
People give the monkey the money.
It is the same.
Oh, not at all, monsieur. I am a musician and the monkey is a businessman. He doesn't tell me what to play and I don't tell him what to do with his money.
Monsieur, don't try to be funny with me. He is your monkey, therefore it is your money.
He lives with me, but he is not my monkey. One day I came home and I found him sitting in the living room. I let him stay, but he pays for his own room and board.
Then the monkey is breaking the law.
But he doesn't play any musical instrument.
City Ordinance 132R prohibits the begging.
How do you know so much about city ordinances?
What sort of stupid question is that? Are you blind?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yes, of course. Well, you happen to be talking to a police officer. And because I expect to be transferred back to the detective division at any moment, I will let you off this time with just a warning.
Thank you, Monsieur Argent.
But you must get yourself a proper license.
First thing tomorrow.
Try to do something about your filthy monkey.
Idiot! How was I to know he was the bank manager?
How were you to know the bank was being robbed?
That is correct.
What is correct?
I did not know the bank was being robbed because I was engaged in my sworn duty as a police officer.
You didn't even arrest the old beggar?
There was some question as to whether the beggar or his minky was breaking the law.
Minky?
What?
You said minky.
That is correct, yes. Chimpanzee minky. So I left them both off with a warning.
The beggar was the lookout man for the gang.
That is impossible.
Why?
He was blind. How can a blind man be a lookout?
How can an idiot be a policeman? Answer me that!
Sorry, sir.
Well, there you have a commentary upon our times. Inspector Clouseau. Now, was big question in my mind is, was Inspector Clouseau also part of the bank robbing gang? In which case, the parable of the Pink Panther and the orange disaster we have as president would be a full circle, nearly complete. All right. Well, having said that, we're going to return to an age-old problem. You are you come home and you find your wife in bed with your best friend, naked, together. And just as your best friend is about to open his mouth, you are about to jump in your mouth, your best friend jumps out of his bed and says, before you say anything, old pal, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Well, okay, so that's called a argument by analogy. And we have another one along the same lines, goes like this. You know, a 90-year-old man went to the doctor and says, hey, doctor, my 18-year-old wife is expecting a baby. The doctor said, hey, let me tell you a story. A man went hunting, but instead of a gun, he picked up an umbrella by mistake. And when a bear suddenly charged at the man, he picked up the umbrella, shot the bear, and killed it. The man said, that's impossible. Someone else must have shot that bear. The doctor said, my point exactly. And so in arguments by analogy, which we do a lot in the Moose Turd Cafe here, are, tend to be walk on crutches, as Vladimir Lenin once said. I told that once to my good buddy, still a professional commie. And but he actually is disabled and walks on crutches. And he says, well, that would be me. An argument by analogy, Joe Sims. Anyway, we're going to continue along with that with a very elliptical analogy. And it's based on the recent or coming weather patterns of spring. And it's called An Ode to Rain. This is a Pablo Neruda ode. Pablo Neruda wrote an ode over a period of about 20 years, I think, or close to it. He wrote an ode nearly every Sunday. He tried to. That was his goal. And an ode is a poem of praise, usually, although praise can be relative, as you know. For example, one of the most famous odes was written by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, and it's called An Ode to Dejection, which is, an ode, a better place to be than a dead child. So things are relative anyway, but this is called An Ode to Rain. The rain returned, and it did not come from the sky or out of the west. It came straight from my childhood. Night split open. A peal of thunder rattled. The racket swept every lonely corner. And then the rain came. Rain returning from my childhood. First, a raging gust. Then, a planet's soggy tail. The rain goes tick-tock. A thousand ticks. A thousand tocks. A sleigh or an ample burst of dark petals in the night. Suddenly intense. Measured drops on poor people's rooms. And that's when you rip off the mask of beauty. When you're as mean as heavenly armor or a dagger of transparent glass. That's where I really came to know you. But I was still yours in love in the night. Shutting my eyes tight. I hoped you would fall on the world. I hoped you would sing for my ears alone, because my heart cradled the earth sprouting. In my heart, metals merge what springs out of my heart. But loving you still left a bitter taste in my mouth. the bitter aftertaste of regret. Just last night, here in Santiago, houses in Nueva Legua and proletarian absorbed in fertilizing mountains and plains, revitalizing rivers, festooning collapsed gullies forgotten in the hills, hard at work in the ice of gale force winds, dancing on the backs of cattle, fortifying spring seeds of wheat, bathing secretive almond trees, working at full steam and with elusive subtlety, all hands and threads on earth's preparations. Oh, rain from yesterday, oh, sad rain of Loncolche and Temuco, sing, sing, sing on rooftops and in leaves, sing in freezing winds, sing in my heart, in my trust, on my roof, in my veins. Sing in my whole life, I'm no longer scared of you. Go on, slide down toward the earth, singing your song and mine. We've got to get to work with these seeds. We'll share our duties, singing. In the rain. And another example of the course of the genius of Pablo Neruda. one of the top poets ever in my book, but there's so many good ones, it's maybe a little unfair to, maybe it's a little unfair to come down so hard on everybody else, but Pablo is just always makes my heart sing. There you go. With that, I guess we're going to, we probably should play Singing in the Rain, right? I mean, it's just, I think it's maybe should we do the Gene Kelly version? I guess we should, yeah, we'll. We'll do the Gene Kelly version. Here we go.
Good night, Kathy. See you tomorrow.
Good night, darling. Take care of that throat. You're a big singing star now, remember? This California dew was just a little heavier than usual tonight.
Really? From where I stand, the sun is shining all over the place. I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in the rain. singing in the rain.
Well, there you have an excerpt from Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly, a long time ago. Almost before my time. I think it came out when I was a kid. I wonder what year it actually did come out. It's not going to say here on YouTube, is it? Probably not. Anyway, okay. 1952. Well, there you go. very interesting. I put it down there just because the rain keeps pouring down here outside the cafe. We're getting ready for another day of the federal shutdown, prompted by the fact that the Republicans say, "Oh yeah, we'll fund children's health if you throw all those dreamers under the bus," so the Nazis can friggin' laugh at it. I hear there was some death threats made against some of the women's marchers in West Lafayette here yesterday. Nazi thugs, scum. Yeah. I'm going to say, we're at that level, right? That's where we're at. So, talking's over. It's going to be a question of force all up and down the line. That's what's going to happen. So, anyway, we're just clicking as we go here on the... Of course, the Moose Turd Cafe features a complete line of foods that are designed to make it so the rest of the day it's just sunshine and daisies all over. No more rain the rest of the day after you have one of these things, because you can listen to a Trump speech and not even be, just take it as a, won't bother you. Because you'll still be thinking about breakfast at the Moose Turd Cafe. All right, we're going to do another little entertainment for you here from the got from Thomas Cathcart and the Play-Doh and the Platypus. And, of course, we have, there's a lot of issues. We're going to do some little bit on feminism here. It's a little risky doing a jokes about feminism from a guy. Okay, you're right. I mean, that's automatically, I'm sure 98% of the women would think that what I'm about to say is suspect at some level, even though they may or may not dig it, but but they may do that. One of the things that happens a lot in people's conversations and interactions is that you suspect that the other person is engaging in some sort of guile. That what they're saying to you sounds okay on one level, but you have this feeling that you're being directed in some way, right? You're being shifted. You're part of somebody's plot, somebody's narrative, that, and you are being... incentivized or urged, persuaded, doors are opening for you to walk through and participate in this narrative as expected. And from that, of course, then you, depending on what happens down the road in different kinds of interactions with people, if enough of these interactions result in the fact that, yes, you were being played a little bit, then you start to adopt maybe a more Machiavellian view of the world. Machiavelli, of course, an Italian, wag, philosopher of sorts, who wrote a famous piece called The Prince, among other things, in which he, calculated the, made a virtue out of the political calculations of power. Anyway, Mrs. Parker is called on to serve on a jury, but asked to be excused because she doesn't believe in capital punishment. The public defender says, "But madam, this isn't a murder trial. It's a civil suit. A woman is suing her former husband because he gambled away the $25,000 he promised to spend to remodel the bathroom for her birthday." "Okay," she says, "I'll serve. I suppose I could be wrong about capital punishment." Yes. See? Okay. We'll try another one. Here's a riddle. Then we'll try on your precise. See if you can get this one out here. A man witnesses his son in a terrible bicycle accident. He scoops up his boy, puts him in the back of his car, and races to the emergency room. As the boy is rolled into surgery, the surgeon says, "Oh my God, it's my son." How is this possible? Well, it turns out, of course, the surgeon is his mother, right? But did you come up with the answer right away? How is it possible? Oh, it's my son. So the surgeon was a mother. And but see, our the feminism or the absence of it in the male perspective blocks you from immediately seeing this. I mean, see, that's what I mean, because you're because there's a certain anti-feminism in feminism among men that is not universal and maybe not even a majority, but there's there's a resistance to the other side. There may be some acceptance too, but there's always some resistance. And the guy might not be the first to see that the only or the most likely answer to the riddle is that the surgeon is the boy's mother. Okay. Anyway, so humor can guide us into a philosophical solution sometimes to an age-old riddle. All right. So, for example, there's a question of whether men are biologically determined. For example, as a result of their anatomy, are men predisposed to use primitive criteria in choosing a spouse? Primitive criteria. Okay. Well, we'll see what he means by that, but I think we know, right? Okay. So, anyway, a man is dating three women, and he is trying to decide which to marry. He gives each of them $5,000 to see what they do with the money. The first has a total makeover. She goes to a fancy salon, gets her hair, nails, and face done, and buys several new outfits. She tells him she has done this to be more attractive to him because she loves him so much. The second woman, buys the man a number of gifts. She gets him a new set of golf clubs. Hopefully he plays golf. Some accessories for his computer and some expensive clothes. She tells him that she has spent all the money on him because she loves him so much. The third woman invests the money in the stock market. She earns several times the $5,000. She gives him back the $5,000 and reinvests the remainder in a joint account. She tells him she wants to invest in their future because she loves him so much. Which one does he choose? Answer, which one has the biggest breasts? Now, is that a joke or not? See, that's the, is it an anti-feminist joke or an anti-chauvinist joke? See, it's not easy to tell. Is it a joke at all? Right. Or is it just a simple truth? See? God appears to Adam, and here's another version of it, arguing for or hinting, playing upon some essential difference between men and women. It's got to be essential because the first man was free of social constructs and his impulsiveness was therefore innate. Of course, we're talking about Adam and Eve, or the alleged first man and woman who had three sons. Now, exactly how did they propagate after that? Not clear, unless the sons were, I can't even say, mating with their mother. I mean, is that possible? Is this an Oedipus story from the very beginning? I don't know. God appears to Adam and Eve in the garden and announces that he has two gifts, one for each of them, and he would like them to decide who gets which gift. He says, the first gift is the ability to pee standing up. Impulsively, Adam yells out, "Pee, standing up, hot dog. That sounds really cool. I want that one." "Okay," says God.
that one's yours. Eve, you get the other one. Multiple orgasms. See, so then you get the that's playing upon, is there some essential difference between men and women? And we'll leave you with this I'm not quite sure how to describe this. We'll do it this way. This is an economic joke in a way, and it arises from Robert Heilbronner's famous classic book, The Worldly Philosophers, which used to be required reading in high school and undergraduate stuff, but now is probably not. Hopefully you got some other... I should find out what people are teaching in freshman economics classes. Okay, in the first sentence, however, of Robert Heilbronner's classic book about economic theoreticians, The Worldly Philosophers, the author admits that this book is about a few men with curious claim to fame. Yes, even, you know, economics has its own philosophers. They're very philosophers. Adam Smith was a philosopher, and an economics one as well. He wrote in his work, An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations. He wrote that the same year that America declared its independence. And this work establishes the blueprint for free market capitalism, or one of the blueprints. Wow. One of the strengths of capitalism, according to Smith, is that it promotes economic creativity. It seems that self-interest, like the prospect of hanging, concentrates the mind. A man walks into a bank and says he wants to borrow $200 for 6 months. The loan officer asks him what kind of collateral he has. The man says, I have a Rolls Royce. Here are the keys. Keep it until the loan's paid off. Well, 6 months later, the man returns to the bank, repays the $200 plus $10 interest, and takes back his Rolls. The loan officer says, sir, may I ask, why would a man who drives a Rolls Royce borrow $200? The man replies, I had to go to Europe for 6 months, and where else could I store a Rolls for that long for $10? Oh, yes. Anyway, so there we go. Well, that's the one of our little lessons of life here. We're going to play a little tune here. Take a short break from the yik yak, and do a little number from the Fabulous Thunderbirds. Assuming I can get it to play. I don't hear it right now, but go. We'll be right back.
up with these country blues. I wanna trade in these old cowboy boots for some fine Italian shoes. Forget the moose and the hairspray sugar, we don't need none of that. Now a little dab will do you, girl, underneath the pork pie. Until hair freeze is over, maybe you. It's cold in the mountains, in the meantime, baby. Let's go to Memphis in the meantime, girl. Let's go to Memphis in the meantime, baby. Let's go to Memphis in the meantime, girl. Baby, there's nothing happening there. Maybe there's something in the air, yeah. Before our lips get still, maybe we need us a big old wheel. Oh, well. Maybe we just get off of that beetle, little girl. Maybe we can find a groove. At least we can get ourselves a decent meal down at the rendezvous. Steel guitar chord, girl, it's gonna do me in. I need to hear some trumpet and saxophone, you know, sound as sweet as sin. And after we get good and greasy, baby, we can come on home. Put the cow horns back on the Cadillac and change the message on the quarter bomb. Let's go to Memphis in the meantime, baby.
And welcome back to the Moose Turd Cafe here on enlightenedradio.org. And we're surveying the damage here on Monday, the 22nd of January. We've just passed the one-year anniversary of the Trump, quote, presidency, end quote. The road to fascism, authoritarian regime. Actually, this is the turning point right now. We have a government shutdown. Now's the time, and if the president wants to go for broke, he can avoid getting thrown out of office, in the elections coming up. Since it's really difficult to see democracy surviving a public that would reelect Donald Trump. I'm serious. Okay, if you reelect him, you could say goodbye. And we may have already said goodbye to democracy, but we'll definitely say goodbye if he's not repudiated by the people. If disinformation is so profound, then we're gonna have to slug it out. There's no other alternative. So it's gonna be. So we'll see whether or not they can come up with a solution to keep the government open and avoid this train wreck that is the so-called presidency. We're going to... And why is I say? Well, okay, now Trump has said, of course, he'll never, never... He says this kind of BS all the time. And we'll hope that it's not true. He says he'll never, negotiate with the Democrats on protecting the Dreamers until they sign a budget that doesn't fund it. Right. And you can't, they said, well, I'll make a deal later. You can't make a deal with Trump. There's no deal to be made with Trump. So anyway, he knows that too. And he knows what he's doing about this, I believe.
all the gaslighting, the fake news, the bullshit, the lies, the, you know, the distractions from what's really going on. And what's really going on, he's taking apart the federal government. And he's not taking the part that's a swamp. He's taking apart the stuff that benefits ordinary people. Yeah. You want drinkable water? Well, I'm sorry. You know, he can afford to buy his own. You can't, maybe. Think about it. You have to go out and buy all your own water, you know, not from the water department, but you got to go out and buy bottled water for your bath, your shower, all this. Otherwise, you're gonna walk out the front door and look like you got leprosy some morning because of all the stuff that nobody kept anybody from dumping into it. You like to have protection against unsafe work on the job? Well, I'm sorry, that the Labor Department's being underfunded. Forget about being able to exercise collective bargaining rights. They just raped the Labor Board, literally. Forget about having your national parks. That's for the public, by the way, for the public to enjoy, because they didn't, like Rockefeller, own, you know, a trillion acres out in the West. At least Roosevelt and Rockefeller donated a lot of it to the public park. To be well, Trump's giving it away again, or his criminal interior secretary. Commerce Department, you know, run by a thug, a criminal. You know, it's just the State Department. We don't need diplomacy. All we need is the oil companies to get together, led by Rex Tillerson, the man behind the curtain, in my view. Here, the force behind the curtain is oil. That's what Putin represents too, is oil, because that's their main moneymaker in Russia. Is they rely upon selling fossil fuels as the key to their it's their whole economy. Well, not their whole economy, but it's a big part, huge part. And it is here too, actually. You know, we see the power of the energy corporations is they're funding most of this fascist garbage. The Tea Party, you know, the fruitcakes, the people, the incompetence that just, you know, tear it all down. Representative Mooney in our state, a complete asshat. Or that, you know, lion scum, what's her name? Capito. You know, she's owned. I don't even blame her. Someone owns her. You know, I mean, she goes, I wasn't elected to hurt the people of West Virginia, but she voted, you know, consistently to do exactly that. Take away Medicaid, take away this, take away that. Without Medicaid, what do you think the people of West Virginia are going to do for health insurance? Especially, in, you know, now that the subsidies have been eviscerated by the Republicans for the Obamacare. Well, you won't even afford to buy it in any market now. Good luck. Or you can buy something that's worthless. Oh, I got insurance. What did they pay when you went to the hospital? Nothing. That's a flim-flam. Now you don't need any. See, these are the protections that benefit the people, not you know, some particular special interest. And they're being gotten away with. That's what's going on behind the scenes while everyone is absorbing the latest little you know, moron melodrama, the reality TV melodrama that usually has a racist and look, I'm acting like Hitler kind of thing going on. And everybody gets riled up about that, as they should. But meanwhile, it's just the rape goes on every day. And now you can't keep the government open. Control three houses of Congress. All the Republicans got them all. And the Democrats say, look, we're not going to throw the Dreamers under the bus, because you like to play kids off against Dreamers. You just handed yourself the biggest tax cut in history for your billionaire, you know, sponsors, mentors, clients. I mean, it's so disgusting. It's not a debatable point, you know. You know, you did what? It's time to go to the woodshed moment. If it was a civil world. Well, taking the people to the woodshed after, you know, the president, you know, is part of the problem. He needs to be taken to the woodshed. Well, now we're talking about a civil conflict of a first order. So, that's where we're at. I don't know whether the Trump can get the government open again. If he does, he'll have to say that he didn't mean it when he said he would never, ever support the Dreamers until the Democrats get down and perform a sex act on me. That's how I view it. Well, now we're going to see whether he's down. In order to back up, he has to back up on that. Unless the Democrats cave, which I hope they do not, actually, in this case. You know, if you cave to this guy, the next man will be worse. And that's what it's been all year. One worse thing followed by another. So to hell with it. Even if you lose in the end and the Republicans who joined you in the thing cave, then, okay, well, you lose. But you lost for something worthwhile. You stood for something. And that, in this case, I think that's important. Because there's no deal to be made with Trump, fundamentally. There's no equilibrium point. Or with the forces that he represents. So, that's the sad and tragic, and I think it'll turn out to be fact, that we got going on here. All right. Let me see if there's any more news besides the Trump shutdown. And let me get the... there might be something else happening in the world besides, you know, the shutdown. Well, let's see what we've got here. Well, look, there's a graph in the front of the New York Times that looks just like the graph I did yesterday for my little data science course. Interesting. Well, the I would like to talk about the sports, except I don't know anything about it. I have to wait till Mike gets back on, because the Patriots are, I guess, going to go to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. So there we go. Tom Brady's injured throwing hand caused much concern for the Patriots fans, but he engineered yet another comeback in a 24-20 victory over the Jaguars that sent New England to the Super Bowl. Also, the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, I stopped going to the Eagles games when I lived in Philly so that I could avoid cursing them, because they seem cursed all the time, but they appear to have broken the curse as far as the playoff curse. I wish the Washington Nationals could do the same, you know, the different sport, baseball, but I do wish that. I wish Mike was here to add some more knowledge to this, but he's not. He's still recovering. And, okay, we're going to see what else is going on here in the opioid crisis is getting worse everywhere. The women's marches, trying to get the size and the action, but in lots of cities in the United States, the women's marches looks like they were filling the downtowns. Looks like several million came out across the country, and shows that the women's resistance to the asshat in the presidency is going full bore ahead and is really has not subsided. So that's a great sign. We have a lot of women candidates running for office across the country. I mean, who can blame them for not being so disgusted with the what's going on here? Anyway, that was very heartening. I should have gone myself. I didn't, you know, to the demonstration on Saturday, but I was consumed with a course I'm taking, and I had to pass a test. So I fell apart. I apologize to all my brothers and sisters out there, but I'll be with you next time. I'm going to keep coming. Anyway, Amazon is raising lots of hell around the country because they're trying to pick the city where they're going to build the new headquarters. And of course, it'll be a mammoth thing since Amazon has become so huge. And one of the cities on the list, of course, is not a U.S. city. It's Toronto, a Canadian city. And we'll see whether... But they're playing everybody off, and it's very interesting to see all the people making, all the cities making offers to try and way past it. A Looks like the Senate is inching toward a deal. There's a, by the way, going back a minute to the story about the federal shutdown. There's a group of moderates, including our West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin and Senator from Maine Susan Collins, are working together and trying to come up with you know, something that can get the government back online. Okay, there's been another Trump appointee who's had to resign because of explicitly racist comments. Well, that's why we're, I mean, why you're resigning? That's why Trump appointed you. Carl Higbee, who resigned on Thursday from the federal agency that funds AmeriCorps and Senior Corps, volunteers in service to America, said on Saturday he regretted making disparaging remarks in the past about black people, Muslim, gays, and lesbians. Jerk off. Anyway, he apologized on Twitter. He didn't want to distract from Mr. Trump's great successes. What would those be? Oh, God. I may have brought some shame to the Trump. You can't bring shame to Trump. He's the definition of shamelessness right now. Anyway. Mr. Higbee had to resign. It looks like, though, in the later article, he hasn't recanted on any of his opinions. Oh, man. I apologize. I may have brought some shame on it. No, you didn't. You should have stuck around. Put on a little white hood, too. He'd have been better off. All right, we're going to go back to some more relaxing entertainments here. We're going to stick with the fabulous Thunderbirds, though, because I can't help myself. Here we go. Why get up? Okay.
Why get up? How can I get up? Why should I get up? This whole world's gone crazy. Think I've seen it. Sleep forever. Why get up?
Phone keep ringing right off the hook. Some bill collector, I know what to cook. Think I stay in bed, dream all day. The world outside bugs me in a way. When I get things going, the going gets rough. So I ask myself,
why get up? Why get up?
Hey, good morning there. Who's calling?
Good morning, John.
Hey, it's Mike Diesel. Well, welcome to the program here, buddy. I've been trying to do some platypus and Plato jokes, but I don't, they're probably going over pretty flat. But so, anyway, well, good to hear from you. Well, I have
nice to hear from you, sir.
I've addressed the question of the federal shutdown, of course, I focused on a man named Higbee who resigned because of explicitly racist remarks he made. He was in charge of Volunteers in Service to America and AmeriCorps. And he said he resigned not because he disagrees with anything he said in the past, but because he didn't want to bring shame upon the Trump administration. Mm. And my question is, how could anyone possibly do that? I mean, it's the definition of shamelessness.
I'm pretty sure that's already at an all-time high.
Yeah, so you don't worry, pal. You should just stay there, put on a white hood, and keep your, you know, go on.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Yeah, you can consult with the pinheaded, big-eared, pale-skinned, sweaty-faced douchebag Miller.
Yeah, him. Yeah, right. Yeah, you can get him, too. That's right. I forgot. Oh, man.
Who's going to get back at all those guys that messed with him in high school?
He reminds me of a squeegee guy I knew of in New York once, you know, so.
He's a squeegee, all right.
Anyway, Mike, good morning. How are you feeling, buddy?
I'm okay. Like I said, sleep patterns and all.
Yeah.
A messed up.
Everything's changed. You're on a different path now. It's like you climbed up to Mount Washington, but you found out it wasn't Mount Washington.
It was just a small little hill. and then I stumbled back down.
Anyway, but great turnout at the Women's March gatherings around the country.
I was very pleased.
And I didn't make it because
I was very pleased.
I was taking I had to take a test. You know, I'm taking this course in data science, right? You know, because I'm afraid that, you know, the federal government's going to collapse and I'm going to have to go back to work again. So I'm preparing myself.
There are several people that I know that are really unhappy.
Well, hey, several. How about several million?
I mean, I'm just saying I know personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
friends and family that are not at all pleased.
I mean, it's just, they can't, I mean, I will say this. I think it's an important turning point as far as Trump goes because, at one level, the fact that the Republicans control all of Congress, the Supreme Court, and the presidency, and they can't get a budget passed, is partly their own anti-government politics that have brought them to this point. But it's also Trump's incompetence or his plan. Okay, I'll just leave it open for a minute there. Because now...
I think when you do that, John, I think when you do that, you give him far too much credit.
Well, I'm trying to pay attention to the danger that's here now because...
I understand that, but you give him too much credit. He's not some three-dimensional, four-dimensional thinker. He's not. He's a reptile reactionary.
You remember when, the great little Peter Sellers clip, which I played at the beginning, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
The Minky. Maybe he's...
But are you blind?
Maybe Inspector Clouseau is part of the bank robber gang in real life, see? And if that's the case, then we have a perfect explanation for Trump. And so, but my point is that he can't, if it's the way it's going right now, he will be repudiated in the 2018 elections. How much? But he will be, okay? Unless, he can leverage this shutdown or some other disaster in a way to pursue an authoritarian path, okay? Which I think is definitely on his and the right winger's mind. Okay, so we're going to. So this is an important test right here. If he can be backed off from his statement that he will never do anything for the immigrants until the Democrats agree to, engage in a sex act with him, if he forces the Democrats to back off, okay. There's no telling what'll happen, okay? If he takes the shutdown and says, "Oh, we're going to use extraordinary measures, and we now have a crisis, and I have to assert executive power, and we can't, start to undermine the process that leads to the 2018 election rebuke." See, that's what I'm worried about. That's the test right now.
I think you and everybody else is worried about that, but I don't think. Look, John, this is not a very popular guy.
He doesn't have to be popular to do what he has to do.
I don't give a shit, John. He's not... If they try to... As I've said before, if they go any further to continue to pull these levers, there's going to be some really, really serious, and I mean serious, pushback.
Yeah, okay. Get ready for it.
And that pushback will probably involve people dying.
Yes. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
We're going to have to fight this shit.
That's right. Yes, I believe that's what's
like they had to in the 40s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s.
Well, the 30s.
Especially in the 60s.
30s and the 60s, yes. Yeah, we're there again. It's due for another rebellion of some sort. But the structural problems are profound, and that's what's going to determine whether or not Trump can get bypass this. They may not be able to get past it without... eating a moose turd pie of just enormous proportions.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. lots of pastry.
Yeah, well, hey, this is the no pastry dish today, pal, if you can't get it together.
You have to have some...
sweetener?
There has to be a crust.
Yes, there does have to be a crust, that's true. I have to have a crust.
Possibly, I know. There I go, I'm echoing again, John.
Okay, well, we'll turn the volume down slightly. There we go.
You could possibly use a nice phyllo dough.
I probably could.
To wrap your moose turd in, so.
No question about it. Well, we got to get off the air actually now because I got Fanny coming in. She's going to do a double show at 8, you know, and record because she didn't want to come next week.
You have to get off the air now?
Well, it's 7:30.
I just called in like
I know, but she's going to be here in about 15 minutes.
I see where your priorities lie.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
I understand. I make every effort.
I know.
My stroke to try to.
I know.
Participate, and this is the thanks I get.
Yes, yes, yes. Eat, shouldn't I?
Yeah, well, that's the name of the show.
That's the name of the show.
Totally fitting.
All right. Okay.
I think he's just pissed off that he couldn't go to Mar-a-Lago and eat his 2 scoops of ice cream and a beautiful piece of chocolate cake.
I made some beautiful ice cream, by the way, yesterday. I made a Heath Bar Crunch ice cream.
Okay. Everyone out there in podcast land, John, for those of you who don't know, John got an ice cream maker, and it is now his new obsession.
Yeah, that's true. It is. And my diabetes is getting worse by the minute.
He's completely obsessed with making new and different ways to kill himself. So.
That's true. Yeah, you sound pretty good, buddy.
He's going to be the first one to move on with self-inflicted woes.
You sound pretty good, okay?
Yeah, I feel much better today. I've had a couple of really god-awful setbacks.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Call me later.
When that happens, it's really frustrating.
Well, call me later, okay? We've got to get off the air.
I'll use the phone.
All right, man.
And enjoy the rest of your day on the air without me!
Okay, well, it's just going to go on until for two
blah,
hours this
blah, morning. Blah, blah,
oh, I miss you so much, buddy.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Okay, man, take care.
All right, everybody, have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye, man. Bye.